It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back into the Long Shot Podcast. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Davis Patrick Reed. Davis, how are we doing?
I'm great. This is the first time you've brought the show in for a while. I've been doing these without you. And it was partially just to, you know, just take the reins. I joked that it was my time to shine. But it was also that I had all of the equipment with me. So I'm now going to leave these microphones with you. So you have mics. And it felt right, you bringing the show back in.
So now I'm back to shouldering that responsibility?
Yeah. You do such a great job.
That seems like you're patronizing me a little bit. We got a great episode for you guys. We have dear friend of the show, Patrick Connington. Pat is fresh off an extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. We talk a whole bunch of different things. Hoops, athletics in general. We talk a lot about what, you know, makes the best athletes, what sport produces the best athletes.
Which he has a good opinion on.
Yeah.
He's a dual athlete.
He is a dual athlete, for sure. So I think you guys will enjoy this one. Pat is also, you know, from the same area as myself, and we grew up together, so always have a good rapport with him on the show. But I think you guys will really like this one, so here's Pat.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Average Joe's wins in a
You suck compared to me.
So you guys are two prep school white guys podcast.
We are underdogs.
They stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Man, I haven't even told anybody this. This is kind of crazy.
Hello and welcome back in to the Long Shot Podcast. We have an incredibly special guest with us here today. And that is a truly dear friend of mine, Patrick here. And a friend of Davis, I guess.
Yeah, come on.
You guys are kind of friends.
Yeah, we're becoming closer friends.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Pat's a fantastic human. I just want to paint a little bit of a picture of the type of human Pat is before we really get into this. So Pat and I were just walking back over here from the Players Association meeting, which was about a four-hour meeting.
Maybe five.
It might have been five.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known because I was not there for the entirety of it. But Pat was. You were there for the whole thing.
I was there for the whole thing. I was 15 minutes late.
All right. Well, I'll cut you some slack on that.
He seems like the kind of guy who's there the whole time.
Not only was Pat there the whole time, Pat is also out in Las Vegas. He's doing two clinics with Nike.
Yep. Well, you want me to go over the whole schedule?
Two-hour clinics.
Yeah.
That you were just doing out of the goodness of your heart for the kids.
Two-hour clinics with Nike for the kids. I also have a foundation that works with youth athletes, so I thought it would fit up right in my alley.
There you go.
Organic. A two-hour panel the following day. Two rookie transition program.
Unbelievable.
Talks.
Oh, my gosh.
One back-to-back nights.
I was actually asked to do one of those.
And you declined?
It's not that basically how it worked out. It's not that I declined. It's that the topic of that evening was not something that was a strong suit or not necessarily strong suit, but one that I could necessarily really speak to.
Financial education?
No. That was the one they wanted me to go to, which you're way more qualified than I am.
Wait, can we guess?
We could have both done it.
Can Pat and I guess what a topic is that you can't speak towards?
I think...
Weightlifting.
No, I think it was... It's not that I can't speak to it. I just don't think that they want to see me up there speaking to it. And it was like it was a social justice thing. That it didn't make a lot of sense for me to speak on,
yeah,
which I totally understand.
Get off your pedestal.
So that was part of it. And the other one, the financial literacy one, I was not in Vegas in time. So actually, they wanted me instead of you, I think.
Or maybe they wanted both of them. Maybe they wanted both of them.
No, they probably wanted both of them.
Yeah. Who did they reach out to first?
I will say Pat is...
I've done it in the past, so I'm going to go.
Yeah, definitely Pat. Pat is significantly more financially literate than I am. I consider myself pretty reasonably educated.
Well, the two institutions you attended in college would love if you would consider yourself financially literate.
100%. Yeah. I mean, not that anyone's like keeping track or anything, but Williams is number one in Forbes.
No.
It's definitely top five. And then Michigan, once again, for those keeping score at home, is, I believe, if not one, maybe two, number one public university in the country.
Cool, dude. Do you think you're better than people?
No, I don't. It's just facts. We're fact-driven.
Can you check that? You have a computer.
Fact-driven on this
not
podcast.
True. Not true.
But anyways, the fact that you took time out of your Vegas weekend, which a lot of guys, you know, use this weekend to, you know, socialize, see each other, work out, you know, whatever it is you use it, but you used it to give back. I mean, that just really speaks to who you are as a human being.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. I think you're putting me up on that pedestal right there with you. So I'm waiting for Davis to chop it down on both of us. But
Pat, do you think you're better than people?
No, I think I'm probably significantly less better than people.
I'm here to tell you that Pat is better than most people at a lot of things. I mean, obviously athletically, but in more ways than one. But anyways, continue.
It's about who you know, Davis. You know what I mean? Know you're not the smartest person in the room and then learn from those smarter people. That's kind of how I go about my life.
Yeah. I have a question because he brought it up and you were actually a really good person to talk about this with.
Oh, let's do it.
Duncan the other day said that he thinks that he's one of the best all-around athletes.
I did not say that. You're taking this so far.
Wait a minute. Let's have a conversation. Before we talk about that, let's have a conversation because I have this often started in high school at the prep, like, define athleticism.
This is what I said.
Not
I said,
running, jumping, not even strength.
Close.
Because that has nothing to do with athleticism.
No, it has a lot. Because this is the thing. That's why that's a misleading statement that you just made.
Duncan thinks he's a better athlete than Anthony Edwards.
No, I didn't say that.
I think you said all around athlete.
What I
right?
said, yeah. listen.
You got a lot of hits.
Let me have my moment here. What I said was that I grew up and I played every single sport under the sun. My mom had me running around from baseball practice to lacrosse to basketball.
Cornhole.
Soccer.
Football.
Yeah.
What position were you in?
What else? I was young enough where I just played all the positions. Yeah. And then I was like, this isn't for me.
You're an athlete, as they call it nowadays.
Football was not for me.
Golf.
Golf. Tennis, I played a little. So my point being, this actually all started from the fact that,
we're going to get to that.
We'll get to this later. No, I'm just going to say it. I'm the best NBA ping pong player, and it's not even fucking close. I just wanted to get that out there. It's not even close. I know I'm the best ping pong player.
I don't want to bring up controversial topics on the pod, but a former teammate of mine, also a former teammate of yours, would probably disagree with
Myers?
That. Did you play with him?
Myers literally can't. I love Myers. Yeah. Myers cannot even begin Duncan, to hang with
no, no,
me.
Did
no.
you guys play?
We played, yeah.
Oh, all right, great.
At training camp, we had a ping pong table and it was
I'm talking like Bucks front office when Myers came in for his draft workout talked about how good of a ping pong player he was. So if you're better than Duncan Myers, then he might no, not he legitimately, be wrong.
It's like scary hours for Myers.
He would put his life on the line. He thinks he is the best ping pong player in the NBA, not close.
I played Franz.
Let me ask you a question,
Davis. Played Franz Wagner the other day. Good player. We put a game check on the line. He didn't put anything. I put a game check on the line. I said, you will not beat me. And he didn't beat me.
21-11.
And Franz is good.
Wait a minute. But time out. We're talking about financial literacy. You put a game check on the line and he put up nothing?
Pat, I know a sure thing when I see one. And I'm a sure thing when it comes to ping pong. Anyways, we're getting off subject. I'm talking about...
No.
I am not. If you did a combine, I would not... I would be in the bottom percentile of NBA players.
Oh, at 99th.
Like legitimately, first, no, truly, way. Like I would probably somewhere in the mix or at least bottom 25, whatever. However, if you're talking about all around athletic skill,
a culmination of all the sports,
I'm talking ice hockey. Like I'm from New Hampshire. I used to play pond hockey growing up.
You literally had to skate to get around. Them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like I have, I'm an adequate athlete in all of those things. And once again, I'm not somebody that's going to be over here beating my chest saying how great I am, but I just don't know it.
Like, but he's great.
I can throw a Frisbee really far. Like that's
an
just
aerobie
a
or a
thing.
Normal one.
I don't even know what the first thing you said was.
The aerobie ones, the one with the hole and they go like a mile.
No, not that. Anyone can throw that. Like I can like literally like put a Frisbee on a dime both ways.
Did you play ultimate Frisbee?
I played
Frisbee?
Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah, yes. Like game. I did everything.
Yeah. How's your spike ball game?
It's pretty good.
It is.
We don't lose. Yeah. We don't lose.
But my point,
I got a guy who would beat you.
My point being is that I'm not
easily. like Pat, I'm not, you're an incredible two sport athlete. You're a great person to have this conversation with. You can throw a football 85 yards. You throw a baseball 90 miles per hour.
97.
I do not
like that down there.
I'd love to get a gun check on that.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, 97 seems aggressive.
It's been a few years since I've thrown a baseball.
But my point being is that I do not excel in ice hockey. I do not excel in golf even. I do not excel in tennis. I do not excel in soccer. But
you excel in ping pong.
Relative to my counterparts, I would be up there.
Average of all of them.
Average of all.
The ability to play all different sports.
Yes. I think I'd be
number one.
You'd be up there.
Personally.
Yeah. I don't think I would be number one, but I think I would like, people would be, if we actually like did this and like created a scenario where it was like the NBA Olympics, I think people would be really surprised.
Yeah. I have one comment to make. Have you guys ever thought about bringing the pod out to like live events and like, literally having a live pod while we're playing spike ball, or like have the spike ball as part of the pod.
We've talked about live podcasts. We have not talked about spike ball during the
but
live podcast.
Maybe not during it, but what I'm saying is like you talk about, then you show highlights from spike ball, and then you talk about the match.
Yes.
100%.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there and I'll take a percentage of it.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as the athleticism thing goes, I do think that's a real thing. Like, especially in the NBA, as far as like, you watch. This is great.
This guy.
Yeah, it's so
shout out to this guy.
Yeah, I don't think we can move the cameras. Unfortunately. Oh yeah. Look, we got him.
That's nice.
Do it again. Run it back.
Yeah. Look at that.
There we go.
Wow.
See, this is it. This could be a spike ball match right now.
True.
That we could be zoning out to. Okay. So what I'm saying is, you look at the Milwaukee Bucks from time to time. You know, whether it's in the off season or we got a bunch of days in between games or all-star break or whatever, we'll as a team do different things.
Yeah.
Golf, maybe some wiffle ball, maybe some, flag football. I don't know. We'll just do different stuff.
Mix it up.
Yeah, mix it up. Right. And so
that was like in college. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt for a sec. That was like in college when, I don't know if you guys ever did this, but like you had like a scheduled really hard conditioning day and then you showed up and they like brought out like wiffle ball bats.
100%.
That was like the best thing ever.
Literally of all time.
Yeah.
But you watch some really athletic guys look really unathletic.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. Right. So I would say that when you talk about the most athletic guys in the NBA, oftentimes that is defined as run fastest, jump highest, agility, all that. I do think you have to take into account the ability to play other sports, like all around athlete. I don't think you can just be other sports.
Skill
or maybe like hand-eye coordination, fluidity, functional athleticism, like things of that nature, right?
See, if we're doing all around, like including strength, vertical.
I
would like to put myself
up
there.
Would be up
but
there.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Duncan's asking to throw that out the window.
So he's compartmentalizing. He's going, I don't want any of the combine stuff. Right. I want all the
just the hand-eye stuff.
The hand-eye functional. I'm saying I want both.
Yeah.
My point is less about like being a great athlete, more in that I'm like good at random shit. Like I can pick up darts and be good at darts. Like I can like just cornhole.
Do you think you're better than people?
No, I don't.
Can
think,
I get the title? Of this
here's the thing. Episode? Here's the thing. I don't think these are even like productive tasks.
I would say they're really productive. You know how much fun it is to be good stuff.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Yeah, exactly. He does. But like when they're just like hanging out with buddies, or like when you're at like a beach or a cookout, like you. Athletic things like activities. Yeah. I will say, I do think that's also a function of the area we grew up in. Like, I was always
playing outside
doing stuff. Yes. Always.
Like, that's a generational thing.
You guys are starting to sound old.
Kids these days. Yeah, man. Yeah. And their Fortnite and their video games.
We're starting to sound like Scott talking about how he coached Spencer Haas, who's Spencer Haas is older than us. Good Lord. But I do think that's a real debate because really what we would open it up for if we had a football guy in here, because football excels in all the combine stuff. Period.
Yeah.
Like they're the best athletes when it comes to combine specific,
correct,
like explosive stuff, right? But which sport requires the most athleticism is a question I often have a debate about. And like for me, it's basketball because it's not just running fast and jumping high and moving laterally and all the combine stuff.
I don't know if that is straight athleticism, though. I feel like that's, once again, a combination of athleticism and skill.
That's all right, well, that's what he's saying. It's a combination, whereas football.
But he asked the question, what requires the most athleticism? That I would say is football. So, because if you are not a freak physically, you cannot survive.
Well, it depends how you define athleticism.
Well, what I'm saying is, let's define athleticism in a sense of, like, is the action of hitting a golf ball athleticism? No, it's a skill. But I think the ability to swing a golf club and look coordinated doing it, in my opinion, is athleticism.
Is athleticism.
So, like, when we're talking about basketball, I'm thinking you have to be able to dribble. Why are there a bunch of defensive backs that aren't wide receivers?
Yeah,
can't catch.
Right? So, like, you look at, like, the athleticism needed in basketball. You have to catch. You got to dribble with two hands. You got to be able to finish with both hands. You got to be able to shoot. Like, well, maybe not always, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to do so much more.
Matt Connaughton on our podcast saying that basketball players are the best athletes. It's not even close.
All-around athletes, not just including combine-specific, like, what would you call that? Combine-specific measurements.
Numbers.
Measurables.
Yeah, I get that.
How about if in the NBA, if we're just going off that combine measurables, who's the most athletic guy?
Ooh, see.
Like you're saying if everybody in the NBA like
did an NFL combine.
Oh, NFL combine.
Yeah, like run a 40.
Cone drill. Yeah. Bench press.
I mean, it's got to be a big.
No, it can't be a big. I actually think a big would probably lose.
Yeah, wouldn't Giannis be up there?
I mean, no, the problem is Giannis is going to lose.
I'll tell you. I think
height on the vertical.
I'll tell you, Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe is
in the mix.
Unbelievable.
He's in the mix.
I was teammate of him. Unbelievable. I think it would be a combination. Like you'd have to talk about Bledsoe. You'd have to talk about Anthony Edwards. I think.
Yeah. He's,
you'd have to talk about Zion. Mm. Like. I think some of the smaller guys actually probably have the best chance.
Yeah, like the pound for pound thing.
Pound for pound thing, I think, is a real thing. Personally.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously you limit yourself a lot if you're tall just from the speed standpoint. Like 40 and how much weight that holds in like evaluation for a football player.
Yeah. And tall guys don't jump as high, technically speaking.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? Like they're already at the rim.
I've had multiple teammates that I've felt very strongly about could, with a year of like diligent training, could play in the NFL.
Like and sure. See, and this would be my argument when that, all those NFL guys are probably come at me now because of this frigging title.
Can't go the other way.
I don't think can go the other way. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's any NFL guys you could say, with a year of training, you could be in the NBA.
But that speaks, I think
personally,
I'm not saying
they're not good basketball players, but
I agree.
I think that speaks to more of the nature of the sport, though, than like them.
That was literally the question, dude.
Okay.
Which sport requires the most athleticism?
That's fair. I think it still comes back to how you define athleticism.
Are you sure Williams was the number one liberal arts school?
I know, right? Well, he only went there for a year. He didn't get a degree.
That's true.
Yeah, Michigan dropped after that. That's a good call.
Well, here's the interesting thing about that comparison then. I don't think you could take anyone and make them an MLB baseball player.
I do. Me. So you're wrong. You're literally wrong on the podcast now.
You're a dual athlete. You played both.
Max.
But that's literally the point.
I'm saying like you could take Zion and make him a stud football player. You could take Miles Garrett and make him a good basketball player. I don't think you can take a good basketball athlete and make him a good baseball player. That's because skill.
Max Strus swears that he could play in the MLB with 1 year of training. I have no idea if it's legitimate.
Have you seen him swing? Or is he talking about pitching?
I think he pitches. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I honestly
don't know. First of all, we've already negated this because I could just do it for all of you the NBA brethren.
However, people who are dual athletes.
If you had a month to ramp up, and you played an entire, like you're in a starting rotation as a pitcher, what's your ERA in the MLB?
You're only giving me a month to ramp up?
You get 2 months. You get 2 months.
How about you give
It's not under five. I love you, but it's not under five.
I don't think so either.
You're getting shelled.
So I'm not sure I'm getting shelled every time out.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I think, granted, I don't know shit about like scouting a pitcher, and I know very little about your ability to pitch.
So with those two caveats, really hard,
and I
nothing.
Do know like what pitches you throw.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in saying that you'd be a great like middle reliever?
No, you're probably not wrong in saying that. I would say the reason I would have the potential to have any success is because like what was most valued aside from how fast I threw was my ball move.
Late action.
Late action.
That late action.
Yeah, like he could be an MLB scout.
That's baseball vernacular.
And so
right
like
there.
the late movement
fucking late action, man.
Required, like it caused guys not to be able to barrel it up.
I feel like we're at that table in Moneyball where they're all going around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, what does he do? Gets on base. It's us, you know? Late action.
You want to.
What does Pat do?
You want an ERA fun fact?
Yeah.
My junior year of high school, had an infinite ERA. I came in and.
Didn't record an out?
We were playing the number one team in the state, Blue Valley. Fuck you, Blue Valley. And I was a junior, hadn't pitched all year. I pitched a little bit on JV, hadn't pitched on varsity. And I came in and we were down like 8-4 in the fourth inning.
Oh, dear.
And I came in and they scored.
Why did they bring you in?
Because he's a lefty.
They probably knew.
He was a situational lefty.
He's a lefty.
It was a tournament. So a couple things. One, it was a tournament. I think maybe we had exhausted our other options. Two, we probably knew we weren't beating this team.
It was a last resort.
So it was just kind of like, let's give this kid a chance.
Thing, yeah.
They recorded 4 runs before I got an out. And
you got pulled.
The run rule, 12-4, 8 runs in the fourth or fifth inning, whatever it was, run rule. Game over.
So you literally
did not record an out and they scored 4 runs in the game.
That's
ended.
The only time you've
and
ever pitched?
Didn't pitch. Well, so story gets better. Didn't pitch again my junior year. So I finished the year with an infinite ERA. You cannot even calculate it.
Yes.
My senior year, I had given up pitching. I think it had shell shocked me. I was done. Didn't do it. Played center field. It was a beast. And again, a tournament, exhausted our pitchers. We needed an arm. So coach comes out to the mound and waves me in. And I'm standing out in center like, what? This has to be a mistake.
You didn't move. You looked behind you.
But I timidly jogged my way to the mound. I was like, all right, fine. The team needs me. I can do this. Runner on first, one out. First pitch, double play. Didn't pitch again.
Unbelievable.
My senior year. So I went from an infinite ERA my junior year to a 0-1 pitch. Done.
Yeah, you still know that means your ERA is like huge.
But
yeah, overall.
Yeah, overall, right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. Sure. Totally. Yeah. My point is, you compare the 2 years.
Yeah, literally night and day.
No, but you reset it after the year ends. Yeah.
Do you have
his career ERA?
I think I've told this story before, but my experience in pitching was in fourth grade. I had some potential as a pitcher. I really believe that. But I got up there in Little League and just the ump was squeezing the strike zone and I kept walking people and I started to like basically like pout and complain about the tight strike zone.
Yeah.
My mom was not a fan of that. And you know, I was doing like the grab the ball and like do all that type of stuff. And she basically said, like, you aren't allowed to pitch again if you're going to act like that. And I just never pitched really after that. I started catching.
Did you get any outs?
No, we lost. But I started catching after that. And I had an illustrious career as a catcher. I was a brick wall back then.
That's not the position I would peg you for.
I know, but I was small back then. I was a little bit more mobile. And like I said, I was a brick wall.
There is a great painting in his house of.
It's not. That's my brother.
He was a catcher too, though.
Yeah, my brother's a catcher too. Runs in the family.
Yeah.
Do you have what's your, I want to go 2 different directions. I want your all-time best baseball memory. And then if you have any like shell-shocked infinite ERA stories.
I mean, I can go the shell-shocked. Like the one story that will always keep me humble in any sport, but in baseball, was my freshman year at Notre Dame. I show up halfway through the season, obviously, because I played basketball. And so what happened was, first half or second half of the season, you know, in college, it's weekend starters are the best like pitchers, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So I started a weekday game to get my arm back in shape. Then I started a Sunday game came in relief in a Sunday game. And then I started Sunday games. And so I was like the Sunday guy. And
how about that? Just right off the hardwood.
Yeah.
Quickly becoming a Sunday
guy.
What
a savage.
But what happened was like the first game of the Big East tournament, my freshman year, coach turned to me and said, you're going to start the first game. And we had a senior that was a really good pitcher. We had a junior that was our Saturday guy, was a really good pitcher. And, you know, I was probably the guy with the most potential, like could throw it the hardest and stuff, but I wasn't necessarily a great pitcher, but I had potential. And so, like, I started that Friday game against St. John's University. And it's probably worse than our boy Davis's story.
Oh, dear. I don't know.
In the sense of,
I didn't record an out, Pat.
And neither did I.
Yeah, but his was on it. Oh, you didn't record an out?
I did not record an out. Mine was 7 runs in the first inning. It was a mixture of hit batter, walked a few guys, and then like these dinky little singles through the five hole.
Oh, that's not too
and like
bad.
Six, like,
so all like dude, was that's like, fine.
So, but it was seven runs, zero outs.
Dude, I was getting like balls off the yeah. fence.
All right,
you know?
But
like,
anyway, I was just taking you to left center.
Oh, just smacking
so seven runs, and it's double elimination, thank God. But like seven runs, no outs, pull me. We're down 7-0, get smoked that game. Come back on whatever, Friday, because that game was on a Monday to start the biggest tournament. And our other two pitchers got wins. So we're out 2-1. We play St. John's again on Friday.
Oh, dear.
Go 8 innings, give up 1 run. Now, the caveat to the story is
happy ending.
My man, Kevin Biggio, who now plays for the Toronto Blue Jays, his dad, Craig Biggio, who we all know.
I know Craig, yeah.
Kevin and Connor are on my team. Craig came to me before I pitched against St. John's and said, hey, I don't know what happened on Monday, but as a trained eye, it looked like they knew what you were pitching. It looks like you were tipping off your pitches. And so he thought that was why they got some runs. So I
wait,
had
but
to,
why would they know what?
Dude, this is a lame shell shock story.
If they didn't really hit you,
I gave up seven runs.
Yeah, but then you bounce back. It's like a story of redemption.
Yeah.
Well, you asked for the worst and then the best.
We want the crushing, embarrassing moments.
That was absolutely. Do you know what it's like? I got drafted out of high school for baseball, and then I gave up seven runs.
But everybody gets drafted
in a tournament game,
don't they? I'm just kidding. Like if I threw my name in the draft, I could have got taken in the 27th round.
Actually,
they draft.
Round were you taking it?
So out of high school, I was taking the 38th round. Now,
okay.
With that being said, it was because I told everyone I was going to college to play basketball. I got offered $2 million from the Yankees to go in the second round.
He told a story last time.
Yeah. He doesn't listen. He didn't know I was on the pod. Didn't you tell me that?
Yes.
He forgot I was on the pod.
$2 million.
He said, my dear friend Patrick is here, and he forgot I was on the pod already.
I now just gave him shit, and I'm now going to ask a question I'm pretty sure we talked about last time you were on the pod. You turned that down.
I did.
You saw not a penny of that $2 million.
Not one penny.
You're a better man than me.
Yeah.
Speaking of turning down things, you recently did not turn something down and you decided to opt in.
What a segue.
You decided to opt in to your contract. Just, you know, maybe talk a little bit about the decision behind doing that.
You know, I think for me, I try to look at things creatively when it comes to the NBA, and Duncan, you and I have had these conversations, but like, I think there's a lot of guys in the NBA that rightfully so try to make every last cent that they can during the time that they're playing, right? We have a finite amount of time in this career, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you basically have to make as much money as you can that can then last you the rest of your life. And so for me, I think that causes guys to put themselves into some situations that isn't always best for their basketball development or their basketball career. And so I try to look at things slightly differently. Obviously, you know, I'm fortunate to have means of income outside of basketball with Three Leaf and the development company I started. And like, for me, I want to be a part of things that help my basketball career grow, be in situations that value what I bring to the table. Because I'm not always going to get 10 shots a night, let alone 15, but I'm going to try to find ways to help impact winning on both ends of the floor. And in Milwaukee, I've kind of found that. And for me, it's been a great place to grow my game. You know, they brought me in at a time where I got waived by Portland. They didn't want to put up a qualifying offer, and they believed in me back then. And then I've slowly but surely kind of grown in my role. And so I've kind of looked at Milwaukee as a hopeful long-term home, and you know, want to be a part of a winning culture and try to win some championships. And I think I can do that in Milwaukee, and you know, I get to play alongside some great players, but great people too. You know, you talk about Giannis, Chris, Drew Holiday, you know, now Bobby's going to be there for a while. Our coaching staff, our management, our ownership, they've just done been great to me. And so it's a place that, you know, I want to continue to be for a while.
Man. What an answer.
Do you guys...
should throw that up on a billboard in Milwaukee somewhere.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah. Can you guys give me that?
We'll clip that one out.
We're going to send it directly to you.
That was special. Yeah,
thank you.
Do you look back on the play? There's no excuses. Everyone goes through injury and everyone deals with different things in the playoffs. But do you look back and thank God?
That was Pat Garrity, by the way. We could have brought him in too. He was a Notre Dame guy.
Nah, pretty ganged up. We don't want to talk about
Garrity. All right.
Sorry.
You think like, damn, if Chris was healthy.
Yeah. I mean, look, but injuries are a part of it, right? Like Duncan knows... every year, there's probably some team that could have said, oh, if so-and-so was healthy, we would have had that much more of an opportunity. Obviously, that is the easiest thing for us to look at. If Chris was healthy, you know, we went to 7 games with Boston without Chris. Yeah. If he was healthy, what could we have done? Unfortunately, it's kind of a part of the way the NBA is. And that's why winning a championship is so hard, right? It's not just about the best team. It's about, you know, luck from time to time, like who's healthy and all those sorts of things. And I think that's, you know, something for us, unfortunately, this year that we were bit by the injury bug a little bit. And I still think we had opportunities. You know what I mean? We were fortunate to go up 3-2. We took game 5 in Boston. You know, that game 6 is a game that we got to win. And I think it's something we'll learn from. It's something that, you know, we'll use as motivation this summer. And it's something that, you know, hopefully we'll get better because of it. Because unfortunately, I feel like you learn a lot more from losing than winning.
Yeah.
When you guys won that game 5 in Boston, I remember watching that. And I got to imagine at that point, because I think it was rumored that Chris was going to come back in game 6. And then it was obviously rumored again that he was going to come back in game 7. But when you guys, after you guys win that game 5, I got to imagine internally, you guys are like, all right, well, we got 2 cracks to get 1. And at the same time, also thinking like we're going back to Milwaukee, like let's finish this off in 6. It's crazy to me how fragile that series can be, in that as soon as that, and that was a crazy game, that game 6.
Yeah.
Tatum had like 40, I think.
Yeah.
How all of a sudden after that, then just the momentum just completely shifts the other way. And in a span of, you know, because it's every other day at that point, in a span of 48 hours, you go from there's no way Milwaukee's losing this series to, oh my gosh, Boston has game 7 on their floor.
At the TD Garden.
Yeah, they got a great track record of doing that. Yeah. It's just crazy how fast that swings.
Yeah, and I think that's where our growth, like, we were fortunate to be on the other side of it the year we won it, right? Like, we were fortunate to be on the other side of momentum as far as, you know, winning the games we were supposed to win at the timely, you know, situations, right? With Brooklyn, we go down 2-0, we win 2, win game 6, take game 7. Like, momentum in the NBA is so fragile in the playoffs, like, to your point, Duncan. I think this year we were a little bit looser with it than we should have been. Like, if you look at that entire Boston series, it was momentum. We won game 1 in Boston, lost game 2. All right, fine, 1-1. I wouldn't say that's necessarily a momentum shift. I'd say that's still in our favor.
Yeah.
We win game 3, we're up 2-1. We lose game 4 at home with Al Horford having 30.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? So momentum shifts immediately. We go up 2-1 with a game at home, go up 3-1 with a chance to close out. Like, in the NBA playoffs, you got to be so careful about looking ahead. And I think, you know, with the momentum shifting, that's what happens. Teams tend to look ahead or get over their skis a little bit, excited about what's next. And when you got a team like Miami Heat, we got to stare down after. I think we just had to learn a little bit from this year's being on the wrong side of momentum to, hey, it's got to be one game at a time. If it's not one game at a time, it gets away from you real quick, because we lost game 4, momentum's immediately into Boston's side. We get it back in game 5, then we lose it in game 6. Like, it just, it was a roller coaster of emotions. Probably much like, you know, planning your wedding was.
Talk about that. I'm gonna skirt away from that segue. How much worse are visiting team locker rooms?
The Boston Celtics locker room is the worst visiting team locker room in the entire NBA.
Is that intentional?
Gotta be.
Like, people talk about home court advantage for Boston, like, fans.
Dude, and with it being Boston and 2 guys from the New England area in which Boston was our team growing up, it's got to be on purpose.
I mean,
like, how bad are we talking here?
Like,
it's really, yeah,
look,
it's,
we got bad producers in the other room shaking their head. Yes,
Celtics,
like,
fan.
Yeah, 100%. We know it's on purpose. Like,
it's really bad. And it's also freezing in that arena every single time.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cold in that, in the team.
Wait, can we, I want to get a paint a picture of the locker room. Like, how bad are we talking here?
All right, so I'm talking like the carpet that's matted down to where, like, it's probably worn out in areas. I'm talking the lockers that are definitely tighter than my shoulders, right? Like, there's only enough for 15 guys, maybe 16.
If you walked in and you said, this is a high school locker room, I would say that's a really shitty high school locker
room.
Stop. Like, swear.
Put it this way. There's showers. It's like the old school showers that kind of got like that rut all over like the tile. And there are those old school ice baths that are not usable. Like those oval tins that
rusty?
Are stacked up on top of each other. That have been there since way before we've been in the league.
Yeah. No
that
way.
That prevent you from being able to use any other showers. So there's only 2 available ones. The top of the like shower head, basically broken off.
Gone. Yeah.
So water, it's just pressure, like water trash, like dripping out. Yeah. Sometimes it's cold.
This like, is a they allow this?
I mean, it's a private company technically, so yeah. Austin's allowed.
Who has the nicest? Probably Brooklyn's up there. You guys are up
no,
there. You guys,
Brooklyn's not up there.
I think Brooklyn's
it's big,
really nice.
But no, think about like the new ones that people have. Like think about Sacramento.
No, no, no. It's not even close. The best one is Warriors.
Golden State. Oh yeah, brand new Chase Arena.
They
oh,
have yeah, they have a cold tub.
Yeah.
For visitors.
100%.
So and normally you have to request.
You're talking about, look, as a real estate guy, the value of like
love
square
this.
Footage
always
in
business.
San Francisco.
Yeah, high.
Dude, the showers are massive. Yeah. They have their own glass doors on them. And they like, yeah. I could lay down like in any way and still like probably not be able to touch the other wall.
So this is interesting. So you're telling me in the NBA finals this year, there was a massive home court advantage for the Celtics.
I mean,
as far as locker room,
yeah, like,
but that matters. That stuff matters.
I don't know if it does. How much are you in the locker room?
I don't know if it does.
How much are you in the locker room?
Yeah, I don't think it matters that much. I mean, like, the more the home court advantage of it, oh my goodness, exists way more in terms of like the fans and the environment, like the actual.
Yeah, but everyone knows that.
No, that other stuff is not.
How about this for a second? We talk about home court advantage. How about the Boston Celtics floor that has the bolts?
Yeah, yeah.
It has the bolts.
And there's like
in.
Set there the parquet. There's like yeah. little spaces in between. The fact that they haven't like somehow closed those.
100%.
So there's like a liability.
They put the court together, right? So it's a bunch of different squares. They push it together.
Yeah.
There's still space in between them. And then they bolt, like they have yeah. bolts in it that are covered with like what, silicone or yeah, whatever the heck
like,
that's called?
It looks like dried glue.
Dried glue on top of it. It's bizarre.
So you can see it.
Oh, 100% see it.
Yeah.
If they're like this big.
There's a lot of dead spots too.
But you can't feel it.
No.
You can feel the cracks for
yeah,
sure.
For
like
sure.
You can feel the cracks. Yeah. Absolutely.
Does this impact your game?
I mean, I'm not going to say it impacts it directly, but it definitely.
Careful. Davis
help
is like,
it.
He's looking for scoops.
No,
he's looking for sound bites.
No.
It doesn't that. Impact the game, but it's just worth noting. Okay.
Davis? Yeah. And I said, look, it doesn't impact the game, but it doesn't help the game.
It does not
it doesn't
help.
Make you a better
it
basketball
help
player.
The game. That's yeah. true. That's true.
So the Warriors' nicest away locker room, how does that compare to a home locker room? Like, is it still not even close to when you're at home in Miami?
I mean,
I'll be honest with you. The Warriors' away locker room is very comparable to our home locker room.
That's how it should be, though.
Our home locker room's great.
I mean, and that's not
the new arena.
That's actually me not throwing shade at our home locker room. It's more so me acknowledging just how special the yeah. Warriors one is.
The Chase Center locker room is great.
Shout out to the Warriors.
Yeah,
franchise.
They did it right.
No,
yeah.
They've got enough shout outs.
Yeah, true.
They have plenty of those recently.
That's true.
Do you have anything else you want to ask, Pat?
I have a long list of just rapid fire NBA questions.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Great conversation.
Right. I think so too. Yeah.
All right. I like this. Rapid fire.
I hope the views on this one.
Wait, I actually have a question. Have you watched any Summer League?
I watched the Milwaukee Bucks play 2 days ago.
Is there anybody when you watch the Summer League where you're like, that guy reminds me of a young version of me. Just curious. Maybe it doesn't.
I'm not sure. I haven't watched it that intently yet. I'll get back to you. I'm going to watch a few more games the next few days.
We'll talk.
I will say the Summer League game is different than the NBA game exponentially.
Yeah.
Like I was not a star of Summer League.
Yeah.
Personally. Like I had some good games. Either, I put up some 20-point games, but like I wasn't a star of Summer League. Like
Summer League is tough.
It's like AAU.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Yeah, it's not as structured.
Yeah.
I just want to put that out there. So like whether you have success or not in Summer League does not determine if you're going to have success in the NBA.
It's very interesting because there are players who have had long careers and made a lot of money that if you put them in a Summer League setting would not like totally stand out, but they're great basketball players because they
for sure
like fulfill a role at a high level. Anyways, what do you got, Dave? Rapid fire.
Are players in the NBA ever told they can't take certain shots? Because I had a friend in high school who had a wide open three once in practice and he took it and coach stopped practice and he was like, Sam Power listens to this podcast. Shout out to Sam. Sam, there's a reason you're open.
Wow. I will say
does that happen in the NBA?
Not really, but I had a similar thought. I'm not going to name who it was. I was watching a Summer League game the other day on TV and the guy just kept shooting threes and there was a reason why he was open. Because
no one says anything to him?
No, maybe
like whose job
I mean,
is it
you
to?
Don't, that's the thing. Summer League, you don't know. Like maybe that's something he's been working on a lot. And the coaching staff is like, look, we really want to prioritize like you shooting threes to see if you can do that. Like, or get more comfortable in doing so. Yeah. Maybe not in October and November, they want him taking those shots, but for now, yeah, maybe.
But those things aren't explicitly stated. Guys are just supposed to know their role. Like,
yeah, I would say the line I've always heard is like, show me what you can do. Don't show me what you can't do. So like, I think the summer is a time for you to expand your game, but you have to have some self-awareness of if you've successfully expanded it or not. I don't think personally, I've heard of somebody being told, hey, never shoot the ball. Like maybe in college when it's a little bit more structured, right? But like in the NBA, I just feel like it's your own career. Like, sure, you're trying, I'm like trying to help the Milwaukee Bucks win. You're trying to help Miami Heat win, but it's a business. We don't know if we're going to be on that team tomorrow or the next day or whatever the case is. So it's like, it's still your own career path with maybe a few segues into different teams along the way. So you're trying to develop yourself into the best basketball player you can be. And sometimes that means putting yourself in uncomfortable situations of shooting threes or shooting left-handed shots for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. Where do you guys get your basketball shoes? Because I was looking for a pair of basketball shoes the other day and I had to drive around Kansas City for like 4 hours to find a good pair of basketball shoes. It was difficult.
The equipment room.
Yeah.
Wait, just for they're just laying around?
Yeah, no, Nike sends them. Yeah, they just show up.
If you have a brand that you work with, and even if you don't, Nike will supply shoes to any NBA player.
Yeah, Nike's
because really? they have a deal with the league. So if you're not actually under contract with Nike, then you can get most shoes.
Yeah,
just through Nike.
You just tell them what you want, manager. Or what?
No, I think actually how it is the equipment managers have a balance that they can order from Nike.
Yeah.
Like each team has their own balance, and then obviously if you have a deal, you individually have a balance as well.
But that doesn't even go.
That has nothing to do with your team shoes, exactly.
Yeah, correct. Like for my Nike deal, like as a Nike athlete, there's an allotment I have for Nike product, but then it's like unlimited amount of Nike basketball specific shoes to wear throughout the NBA season.
They're going to provide whatever you need on the court.
Unlimited shoes.
No, that's everybody. That's everybody. Kidding. Yeah,
that's everybody.
The team allowance. What if like PJ Tucker uses the entire
allowance? Well, PJ Tucker has his own deal with Nike.
So he doesn't touch the team allowance.
Yeah. Do you ever struggle to get a pair of shoes?
Never.
The only ones are like if it's an exclusive ask, like, you know, it's some shoe that everybody wants. Like I've been pinched out of those a couple times.
I'll be honest. I have.
But usually Marquise at Nike does a great job. So thank you, Marquise.
Shout out Marquise.
I will be honest. Prior to Misty at Nike, who also does a great job, who I did the 2-day camps with today. Thank you.
You hear that, Misty? Did a 2-day camp.
Misty.
Prior to her, there was a moment in time a few years ago when I was wearing KD's shoes and I was down to like one pair left. And it was like, hey, we can't find any more size 13s. And I was like, okay, well, I got like 2 weeks left before I need another pair. So we're going to have to maybe talk to Nike to get this fixed.
Chop, chop.
Yeah. But
did they come through?
They didn't. Yeah, yeah. They always come through. I had to kick them a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to hold people accountable sometimes, Davis.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Hold Duncan accountable if he's not asking the right questions.
I will. I just got a couple more.
Yeah, go ahead.
You get one more.
One more?
You get as many as you want.
No, you get one more.
Okay. Is there...
Do you guys have to rent studio time here?
No. Blue Wires take care of us. We just...
Yeah, Blue Wires is killing it. This is unbelievable. Yeah, every time I look back, I'm like...
What a facility.
I think we got 20 more minutes. But we can wrap up. Pat's tired. He's done.
Pat's had a long day.
A lot of meetings. Pat's got business meetings.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right. Pat's if I only get one more question, meeting. Here's my question. Is there an understanding of stat lines during a game? Like, do guys know, like, oh, I need 3 more rebounds for my triple-double? Or like, I need 4. Like, do people care about that? I'm talking regular season. Let's say it's not like a playoff game that matters.
Wow. That's a dangerous. Yeah. That's a dangerous.
My short answer to that would be yes. People know, mostly because of technology. It's up in the arena. Like people, the entire stat line is up there.
But like you notice guys are looking up there.
I think it depends on the player.
Yeah, partly it depends on the player. But short answer, I would say yes.
I mean, I think people are aware if it's, I don't know if it's like 3 rebounds away from a double-double or whatever. But like, I think as somebody's getting close to like the more like, the accomplishments of higher magnitude, like a triple double, 1 assist away, 1 rebound away, 1 point away. Like, I think those start to get like more obvious and those start to get more like, and I would say, at least on our team, that's kind of the beautiful thing where like guys want you to have
that,
right? But like, I think it's a bad look for a player if they're like 3 rebounds away or whatever and they're like, stealing people's rebounds or like they're whatever, one steal away and they're like gambling on defense in order to try to get and like giving up layups. Like, I do think there's some feel that has to go along with that.
Yeah.
Personally. That's fair.
I also think it's dependent on the player too, in the thought that, you know, if Giannis, like Giannis is in the mix to get a triple double every single night. But like if you for example, have you ever had a triple double in the NBA?
No.
But like if you, for example, one night had 8 assists and you had your, you know, normal double double, which you always get. like that would gain a lot of more momentum and people would be like, oh shit, like Pat's like two assists away from getting a triple double. And then I think people with you threw on the ball would be a lot more inclined to shoot, depending on time and score. Obviously, people are not prioritizing that over like winning or losing
hopefully
a game.
Hopefully.
All right, how about this? Do you guys
in general, you're right.
Do you two, we won't speak for the league, we'll just speak for yourself. Do you guys count? Do you know how many points you have at all times in a game?
I actually try not to focus on it.
I didn't ask
you. Try not to.
No, I'm honest. Like, I try not to. Like, I try not to look at the board because, like, the way I've tried in the last, especially 2 years of my career to continue to grow my game is, like, to play the game the right way. If I'm open, shoot it. If I'm not, like, yeah, be aggressive, but, like, not worry about how many shots I've taken or not taken, like, things of that nature. Like, because I do think...
I would just think it's so hard not to.
I do think over the course of an NBA season, like if you're too aware of it, like if you're making shots or if you're missing shots, you're rolling with the tide. And if you can stay flat, you can stay level where whether you make or miss, you're doing the same things every single time. The numbers, if you're a good shooter like Duncan, the numbers are going to like even out no matter what they say at that moment in time.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's just but technology, like, yeah, I mean, sometimes you see you're at 9 points. Yeah. I want to get 10 or like whatever the case is.
I've never played with a scoreboard that showed me how many points I had, but I would know. I would just count in my head.
What's the most points you scored in a game?
Ninth grade, 42.
Ooh.
Yeah, Davis is a bucket. Mine's actually, weirdly enough, 42 as well.
Really?
Yeah.
And when?
It was high school. I mean, I don't even know if you want to count this. It was like
yours counts for sure.
We like went on like an overseas.
It was against adults.
With our high school. Yeah.
We played a.
What about 40? You? What did you have, 60 at?
I had 52,
yeah,
but not at St. John's Prep. It was a 16-year-old AAU game before joining the Magic, playing against 18-year-olds.
Fidelity
in
House?
Maine. Yep, Fidelity
House. Love that.
Yep.
Was it in Saco, Maine?
It actually may have been.
Yeah, I love that. Love that facility. Up. Sports Zone in Saco. Yeah. Shout out to Sports Zone.
There was a kid that was mad I was scoring, so on an inbounds pass. I was like guarding the inbounds pass. He had the ball. Literally, you know how like on 5 seconds they'll like throw it off you?
Yeah.
He got the ball and threw it right off my stick. Like tried to hit me right in the nuts. And at that point, it was over.
Did you catch it and go dunk it?
No, I wish. It ran off me. It fell off me. But that's why I scored 50.
You're a monster.
There you go.
Of course you scored more.
But like, for example, in that type of game, you probably lose track of
course,
how much you have.
Once you get to 42.
Yeah. But like, you know, if you're not going for 20 every night, it's a little easier to keep track of.
Well, I'm going to be honest, too. My attention span isn't always that great, so it's tough for me to keep track back then in the day.
Well, and math is hard.
Yeah, math is hard. I mean, it's a real thing. Although I like math. I'm pretty good at math. But
being how about that? He goes,
businessman.
Yeah. He goes, yeah,
well,
business
hard, but I'm good at math. I have to be good at math based off the auxiliary jobs I have.
Well, and
if I'm not good at math, there's going to be some people that are pretty.
Do you consider playing in the NBA as your secondary job?
No, I consider it as my primary job for the time being.
All right. Well, that was a good time. Davis, do you have anything else?
That did not sound genuine at all.
No, it was a good time.
What is the goal of this? Like, how long are you guys going to do this pod for?
Till we pass Rogan.
So do you consider primary job?
Have you heard of Joe Rogan?
I have heard of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, the Joe Rogan experience.
Yeah.
Can it be like Spikeball up in Hampton this summer?
Yes.
But Joe Rogan doesn't do like extracurricular events.
Maybe Joe Rogan's not athletic enough to do
that. Exactly. That's a market. It's untapped.
Oh, you're saying to like differentiate.
Yeah.
No, I think there's got some legs to that.
Do you guys really think you and Davis could beat me and whoever my teammate is in Spikeball?
I couldn't tell you the last time I lost in Spikeball, so I like our chances.
Give me a month to get it tight.
If Joe's your teammate, guaranteed. And that's no shot at Joe.
Okay, you can't keep saying this.
It's kind of a shot at Joe.
Yeah, he has literally three times on this podcast taking shots and be like, it's not a shot at Joe, it's just how good we are.
It's like starting a sentence with all due respect.
Yeah. I'm going to disrespect the shit out of you right now.
Yeah. If Joe's your partner, I guarantee you win.
If Joe's really my partner, I guarantee you lose. I'd actually probably pick somebody who's not as good as Joe to give you guys a chance.
Is he a good spike ball player?
Joe's a great spike ball player.
Let's put a game check on it.
Zero times.
Game check on it.
I'd love to see.
What?
Game check.
I wouldn't put
my
a game,
game check
on
and Duncan's game check are far different. So I'm,
I'll put a game check.
I'll
on
do the Franz Wagner. I'll put up zero. He puts up a game
I'll
check.
I'll put a game check on ping pong, not spike ball.
Not spike ball.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can I put up nothing on ping pong?
Can you look directly into one of these cameras and claim that you're the best ping pong player in the NBA?
I mean, at this
you
point,
should. You should.
You should, right?
Yeah.
I feel very confident that I am the best ping pong player in the NBA.
And nobody can fuck with me.
No, no, no.
I'm not going to say that.
Don't go that far. You got kids listening.
I'm the. I do believe that I'm the best.
I would love to figure it out if that's true.
I want to have this like athlete competition thing.
So I actually talked about
missed
with him
opportunity
about this.
To do like we could have done that in the bubble.
No, no, no.
Like,
listen,
no, no, we
nobody
totally
had anything to do
anyway.
We weren't doing the pod.
That could have been
then.
Televised. The NBA just.
I actually, yeah, you would be a good person to get involved with this with us. I would like to set up a long shot pod NBA Olympics, and we get a bunch of people somewhere for a day, do a bunch of different sports, and we decide who the best all around athlete in the NBA.
Dave, I love the way you're thinking. Let's just try to schedule a spike ball game first before we coordinate like 10 to 15.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Davis. I'm not sure that can be a long shot pod as like the catalyst. I think it might have to be like an NBA or a PA.
Yeah, yeah. We're just
long
part
shot
of it.
Pod
we're
as
part
like
of it.
A
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
partner. In,
sure, that's
you
fine.
You know what I mean? Like
sharing is caring. I'll bring people in on that idea.
Yeah,
it's my idea though. This is on camera that this is my idea.
Well, I'm pretty sure I literally just said it before.
Yeah, Pat kind of did.
Okay, have we not talked about this? We talked about
it.
On camera?
Not on camera.
Yeah. I literally said it on camera right now. No, we have documentation of this.
No documentation. Yes.
Ping pong, spike ball, and then Olympics in that order.
Ping pong, spike ball, and then Olympics. Ping pong, Duncan's going to win. Spike ball.
Okay, but Olympics is like, there's like ski shooting in the Olympics.
No. Yeah,
we gotta, it's got to be defined term. What it is.
We'll select like eight
events. Are you going to put in combine type stuff?
No, we're going to select eight events that I excel the most at, and we'll just use those. It'll be great.
We'll have to figure out a way to make it fair.
Golf should be in it.
Yeah. But not like a round of golf. It's just like one of the events
long
is
drive?
Like
long
closest
drive.
To the
actually, I was actually thinking this while you were having a conversation. I think that if you really practiced, you could be in the mix for a long drive competition.
Do you know what consists, like, do you know what long drive guys use for like equipment? Like, isn't the driver like longer?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah. Like that guy, Kyle Berkshire.
Yeah.
I think he like carries like 430 on his drives or like 425 or something like that. I just imagine it's like, yeah, all very unique equipment.
Yeah. I would love to try it. Yeah.
But I think you have like the, cause that guy, I mean, you have to get into some athletic positions in order to hit the ball that far.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. Anyways. All right. This
that'll be the third time I'm on the pod. We'll talk specifically about what.
I mean, Mo has you beat. Mo's been on four times.
Mo?
Yeah.
Wagner?
Mo Wagner. Yeah. George Niang.
Twice.
Has been on twice. Who else? We're having some other people on for a second time.
Yeah.
Won't disclose that.
TB,
You know.
You're
a friend of the show.
How has Mo's, how has his pods viewed?
They do something.
Better
people
than
like
yours.
Mo. People
better
like
than
Mo.
Yours.
It's interesting because I.
Better than mine?
Yeah.
That's your fault for not promoting it.
Well, no, this one's going to kill.
A catchy title.
It's really,
this one will kill.
It's interesting because I really thought the general public hated Mo. Because of his antics.
Well, I think that's what gets clicks.
I actually...
Yeah, he talks about getting headbutt by your teammate.
Yeah, define like people love Mo, meaning they'll watch.
People
that doesn't
tune
necessarily
in.
Mean love.
People tune in.
But you also have Davis's point, that doesn't necessarily mean love.
Michigan fans.
It's all about Michigan fans. It's all about those interactions, baby. You know, we just got to keep them going.
Yeah, the analytics behind it.
Analytics.
I think it's impressions.
Sabermetrics.
I think it's impressions,
podcasting.
Not interactions.
Yeah, actually, that's exactly what it is. It's impressions.
Are you sure Williams was number one? Did you Google that right?
Do you think you're better than everybody else?
Is Duncan?
We're done here. Cheers.